going to ask you for a few moments here, and take that with a pinch of salt, okay? To turn to Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1. It's a very special thing here to be involved in a child's beginning in her life. And it's a remarkable hour, and we really pray for God's blessing on baby Eva. I want to preach a message very specifically for this baby dedication. And I believe it's not only for Eva, not only for her parents, but for all of us. Whether you have a child or not, it is for us. Because I believe this message reveals something of the hour that we live in and what is happening at this time. Reading from Exodus chapter 1, and this is my message here this morning. Raising children under rising tyranny. Reading from Exodus chapter 1 from verse 8. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join unto us, our enemies, and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiprah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, When you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then shall he live. Then shall she live. Verse 22. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, Every son that is born, ye shall cast into the river. And every daughter, ye shall save alive. And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took a wife, a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink, and his sister stood afar off, to wit, what would be done unto him. Will you pray with me here? Father, we do thank you for your grace and your mercy and your kindness unto us in an hour and a generation that we are living in. Lord God, we do pray for your grace and your mercy, Lord God, upon these babies, these children, Lord God, on this young generation that we have in our world in this hour. Lord God, will you have mercy and do an extraordinary work in this last hour of time. Lord God, we do pray for your grace on baby Eva, Lord God, on all the children in our midst, oh God, that you'd raise up children that can serve you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 I need just a slight bit more volume. Yeah, just slightly. To hear myself. Sorry, my wife all week long has made me swim in the sea at 8:30 in the morning, and my throat is just not what it was a week ago, so you can blame her this morning. Yeah, I'll be fine. Here this morning, my message, raising children under rising tyranny. Let me just lay down four things here, and I want you to listen very carefully. I want you for these moments to hear, because I believe it's a message for this hour and this time. My message, raising children under rising tyranny. What do you do when you begin to see tyranny arise? And yet at the very same time, you're going to have to raise children in that environment. I've got 4 points for you here from the text that we read in. And I want you to hearken and understand what we're saying here. I believe this baby dedication here this morning has given us the opportunity to speak a message about the children of this hour and generation of the 2020s. My first point here from what we have read, the rise of tyrants. The rise of tyrants. What we see in Exodus chapter 1, and we're looking at the context of the birth of Moses, one of the greatest men, most remarkable men. Do you realize that Moses today in our world, in this generation, do you realize more people hold Moses in respect than any other individual? Do you realize Islam does, Judaism does, and Christianity, of whatever form it does? Worldwide, most of the population hold this little babe that was born in Exodus chapter 2 in such high regard and respect that few men in all of world history are thought about like this little baby that we're going to deal with this morning. And yet this first point, we see the rise of tyrants. You see, the hour that this little innocent babe that couldn't tell the difference between its left hand and its right was born, in an hour when a tyrant was rising to power where he was going to be born. It is a terrible thing when government becomes tyrannical, or a leader arises that doesn't respect the welfare of life, of human life itself. You know, if you're a student of history, you actually know, when you look back over the 20th century and back through world history, you do not take these things lightly. You see, Moses was born in the hour when a tyrant had risen up, gained political power, religious power, social power, and medical power. It was the rise of tyrannical government at that time. We're actually told here in verse 8, now there arose up a new king over Egypt who knew not Joseph. You see, Joseph was a man of God. You know the story of Joseph. He was known by the Pharaoh of Egypt. He was respected, he was honored, and all of his people, the people of Israel, were respected as well. And it says a new king. The word new there means someone new, totally different than the previous pharaohs. He was a different kind of man. The previous pharaohs knew Joseph, or knew about Joseph, or had a respect for Joseph. But here came a pharaoh in Egypt who knew not Joseph. He had no care about Joseph. He didn't know the stories about Joseph. He had no reverence for the people of God. He didn't care about their religious opinions or their God or their faith or their culture. He didn't care about any of it. He had a very low view. You see, I'm showing you the beginning of tyranny. You see, you can discern when a tyrant is beginning to arise. There's certain ideologies. There's certain ways of thinking. There's certain ways of operating and of speaking. There are certain legislation that starts to come in. I want to show you, when I see a man or a woman that has no respect for the babe in the womb, I get very worried. When I see a generation coming in who have a very low view of a child being born in the womb, or an old person that has maybe gone senile and is in a home and has nothing to contribute to society, and they go, that life is of no worth. I'm telling you, it's a very dangerous hour. When I look back through the corridors of time and of history, and I'm a student of history, I have been from a child, it's very important to study history, because if you study history, you can predict the future, what's just about to happen. And I'm standing here, if I know anything about history, we right now are living in an hour that is very dangerous. I believe that we've never seen such a dangerous hour since the Second World War. I believe that there is a rise of a movement that we ought to be deeply concerned about. You see, this new king that came to the throne in this hour was a different man, and he thought differently. Who were the people of God in this hour? Well, we know that they went into captivity in Egypt for a period of 400 years. Do you remember Abraham, when the man who couldn't even have a child, and God intervened that he and his wife could have a child. The Lord revealed to him, your people are going to go down into Egypt and be there 400 years, but God is going to bring them up out of there. In other words, right at the very beginning, the source of an entire nation, God showed them the dark times, the hard times. He predicted how long they would be in Egypt. What a remarkable thing. Also, Jacob was given a prophecy. Your people are going to suffer affliction, but I will make them there in Egypt a great nation. Don't be scared to be down in Egypt. Don't be scared to be in this world. Because you know what? While Israel is in Egypt, I'm going to birth forth a great nation. During that 400 years, they went from being a family to an entire mighty nation that has become notorious in the world. We see them go from a man, a woman, a child, a family. And then we begin to watch this entire nation form. But it was in the midst of Egypt when Joseph finally died. He left behind his bones. And you know what he said? I want you to preserve my bones. You see, all of that preserving the bodies by the pharaohs, that was done for Joseph's body. And his body was still there 400 years later. And he says, you know, my bones, when you get delivered and God visits you and takes you to Canaan, I want you to carry my body, my bones, my remains up. And you know what? My bones are going to be a testimony that revival is going to come to you. What a remarkable thing. You see, God had a plan through the darkest hours, even through the rise of tyrants. God had a plan, yet very few people amongst God's people remembered the covenant, remembered the promises, or even understood the prophecies. The hour that we live in now, most people do not understand Bible prophecy. This Bible is filled with lots of prophecy about Eva's generation. I mean specifically about her generation. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of specific prophecy saying what is going to happen and giving us assurance. It's remarkable. She is a unique child born at a unique time in world history. Well, we see the rise of tyrants. Look at this new king who comes to the throne. He's filled with suspicion. He is filled with fear. He begins to say, we need to keep an eye on that people. Be careful when governmental power demonizes any group of people. I don't care if they're gypsies. I don't care if they're Jews. I don't care if they're Christians. You better be very careful when we have a form of legislation that separates people out and treats them differently. You see, this new king, he began to say, this people are going to multiply. They're growing. They're greater than us. See the suspicion of his mind. They weren't greater. They weren't more in number. But he begins to look at them and they become dangerous. It's now us and them. You know, we live in a society that's trying to create a you and us mentality. You've got to conform to be with us. And if you don't conform, then you're the other. You're something else. And you become demonized. This is the mark of tyranny. When you begin to separate out of people and say, you don't speak like us, you don't act like us. Why don't you conform to our laws and our religion? And why don't you think about babies like us? What's wrong with abortion anyway? You better be very careful when in politics they have a very low view of life. You know what this new king done? In verse 11 it says, he therefore did set over them taskmasters to afflict them. That means to look down upon them, to browbeat them, or to depress them. You see, he was scared of them. He was nervous about them. He was suspicious. He was writing out in his head what they're going to do. You know, when you get a governmental leader that looks at the church or looks at a certain segment of the population and begins to go, they're dangerous, we haven't broken any laws. You know, I'm one of the best citizens in Limerick City, I'll have you to know that. I try to be, I'm not always perfect, but I sure and do endeavour to be. This man is a law-abiding citizen who respects the government, who respects the guards. Oh, I know they don't do everything right. I've met a few of them. I want to share. I've got a few stories here, but I give them respect for their position and their job. I am a law-abiding citizen. But when legislation begins to change and begins to point out someone like me that I'm different, I don't conform, and that I don't believe what they believe, you're living in a rise of tyrants in a time that is very dangerous. It says that they desired to depress these people, to beat them into submission, to put them in a corner, to restrict them. And to do that, he says, he put burdens or a load of care upon them. While he's trying to depress this group of people, he is building cities for himself. He is economically going up. They're building entire cities. He's preparing for the future. He is rolling in the money. We have lived in the past year and a half in an hour in which the rich, the powerful, the famous have become extremely rich in the past year and a half. Do you know who is decreasing? Is those who are the majority. Those who have little, you're suffering, and you'll suffer yet more under what is happening in our world. But do you know, the rich and the famous and the powerful, they are extending their power. I read a book and I brought it to you as a church over a year ago, in July last year. Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum, warning in his book printed in June last year. Do you know what he said? He said government is going to have to become very strong, very controlling, and very intrusive in the life. I read that last July and I didn't believe it. He said, you're going to watch worldwide over the next year, government take over and strengthen, and it'll be greatly misunderstood. We are living in an hour where governments have claimed a power they have never claimed in our entire lifetime. We have lost rights and liberties and freedoms, and now they're on the verge of, you know what, doing? Demonizing anyone who disagrees with what's said. I want to warn you here this morning. We are living in a very dangerous hour. What was the result of this? Of this new Pharaoh trying to oppress the people of God? Well, it says here, verse 12. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied in number and they grew. In other words, they become established. So look at this rising tyrant. And this is only the beginning. You know, I was going to say for this point, call it the rise of tyrants who destroy children. I was going to call that the first point. But really, that's the end. That's the destination. When you first see them, that isn't where they're going. They're trying to oppress and limit a exploding population. There is an explosion of population. They're trying to cut it down and restrict it and stop it. But the more they oppress, the more the numbers multiply and the more they become established. You know, hardship never destroyed a people. Softness destroys a people. Comfort can destroy you. Suffering has never destroyed a man. You know, most of us, when we suffer, it's some of our greatest days. I want to show you. It's not easy. And those who cause it are responsible. But suffering puts backbone into you. We now have sired an entire generation. They live off the state. They demand everything and they don't want to do anything. That's the mark of an entire generation. We have ruined a generation and we have set them up, making them ready for a tyrant. If a tyrant pays enough, gives them what they want, they will follow the Pied Piper to wherever he goes. It doesn't matter where he goes. Do you know the world governments have now come out this year from Britain to Canada saying that they're going towards transhumanism? The British government, the Ministry of Defence in Britain, saying they want a brain chip in every brain. You've got all the government departments across the world, World Economic Forum, UN, other institutions, saying we're going digital, digital currency. Everything's going digital. We're not going to digitalize the body. We're going to digitalize the medical system. And they're now telling us where they're going. We are going to change the DNA. I'm telling you what they're saying, not my opinion. They're looking to bring an evolutionary jump that's going to combine technology with humanity, as the Bible predicted 2,000 years ago. We are there. It's right at the door. You see, the rise of tyrants, I believe we're in a very dangerous hour. But you see, all of this bondage and bitterness and trouble and care, it didn't touch the home at this point. There was the rise of tyrants. As long as you don't touch my home, I'll be okay. Affect the workplace, affect the high street, affect society. But as long as I've got freedom in the home, I'm okay. Do you know when tyrants begin to intrude on your own premises, your own home, your own lifestyle in the home, you better get very worried. This is change gear. My second point, midwives who feared God. Midwives who feared God. The rise of tyrants, a new Pharaoh. But midwives who feared God. Look at verse 15. And the king of Egypt, because his plan wasn't working, the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah and the name of the other was Puah. And he said unto them, when ye do the office of midwife of the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill them. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. Do you realize there's a king with an agenda? He actually is concerned about the population explosion. There is a people multiplying that make him very, very nervous in this hour and time. So what does he do? His oppression of the people, the hard taskmasters in the workplace, that didn't work. What did he go for next? He went to the midwives. The office of the midwife. Now, two of them are mentioned here, and most commentators believe they overseen maybe 500 of their midwives. Two midwives couldn't birth all the children that were coming forth in Israel. There was maybe 2 million people. There had to be 500 midwives working, laboring to bring forth the children. But we're given the names and identities of the two leaders of this profession within an entire nation. Do you know this king goes directly to them, not the people. And he goes to the midwives and he says, I want you in your office now. We're making this legal. We're making this political. And we're commanding you, midwives, if sons are born, you're to kill them. You're to kill them. You see, this is the steps of a tyrant in a certain generation. Oh, I know there would have been a lot of qualifying with what he was doing. A reasoning out. Higher authority Having lost the sanctity of life is a very dangerous thing. No morals, no ethics. And it begins to invade the workplace. You can keep your religion, you can keep your morals, but don't bring them into the workplace. Keep them at home. Keep them in your own house. But don't bring them into this work environment. This is a political environment. What a dangerous thing when your choice and the sanctity of life is taken away from you and it's now made a political issue. When governments begin to say life isn't important, that child, that baby boy, if it's a boy, kill him. If it's a girl, let her live. Do you know, we all know about Nazi Germany, about how eugenics was used to begin destroying those that were despised, the Jew, the gypsy, the handicapped. They kept going. Then if you didn't fit the qualifications, you know why? They said, science has shown us. You see, science was used to begin to annihilate, to justify. It filled the newspapers. It filled the media. Politics came through in tyranny using the medical system, the scientific system, the most educated to begin justifying what they were doing. All of us knew that. We all think it was in the past. It could never happen again. We know that Darwinism, hand in hand with eugenics, affected China, Russia, and Nazi Germany and massacred vast millions of people. The Jews were condemned as scum, something else. You know, in German newspapers, all my life I've wondered, how does the intellectual Germans, how did they fall for Hitler? I know the Germans, they're intellectual, they're educated, they're upright, they're disciplinarians, they're men and women who keep the law. How did an entire nation of sensible people fall for the rise of Hitler? Well, we know that he arose in an economic crisis. We know that he fixed the nation and done many good things, but he demonized the people and he made them believe that there was something wrong with those called Jews. What about China? You say it wouldn't happen in our day. Really? You think it wouldn't happen in our day? You think everything happened in history and it could never happen in your generation? Hitler could never arise today. Stalin could never arise. Mao could never arise. Do you not realize that our world is more susceptible right now and it's in danger more than any other generation? It is wide open to deception. I'm watching people very carefully. In China, birth control was introduced in 1949. Then in 1979, the one-child policy was introduced to China. This is all within my lifetime. They began to tell their people, one of the biggest nations in the world, populations, you can only have one child. You're not allowed to have two children. If you do, it'll be taken off you or killed or you'll be aborted before you have the child. This was standard practice. I've read the story of Chinese mothers who had the police at their door saying, you need this baby aborted. Come with us and we'll do it and you can go back home. A Christian mother with a baby in her womb. She's got one child. You're not allowed a second one. The authorities had sovereign power to do that. Do you know that continued from 1979 through to 2016? Only one child. The testimony I'm talking about was since the year 2000. I'm talking about real things going on. China has, in that time period, from 79 to 2016, aborted 600 million babies. 600 million. Do you know they changed their policy 5 years ago? And they said, you're allowed two babies now. Then in August this year, 2021, they said, you're allowed three babies. You know why? They've destroyed their population. They realize by implementing this legislation, they have destroyed their society. Now they're going to have a large old population and almost no young population. They're in danger. So they said, now you can have three babies. I'm talking about an entire nation I'm talking about a nation that has big influence into the United Nations. It's one of the big four. I'm talking about China, that is second only to America in world affairs. I'm talking about a nation that money-wise is buying up all the corporations around the world. It's influence in every nation. It is coming in and affecting business in every hour. Do you know eugenics is still a very real thing? You know, if you go to the World Economic Forum, they're talking about gene editing. Do you know the 2020s are going to be marked by an explosion of gene editing? It's all been held back, but it's about to change very quickly. We're told that American Indians in North America, between 1971 and 1965, 42% of American Indians were sterilized. We're told in that same period of time, there was about 500 clinics in America set up to sterilize those that were involved in crime from African communities, from Indian communities and other areas. They operated illegally under the knowledge of governments. I'm talking about our generation. We're now told that the United States has probably aborted 62 million babies. In Europe, 500,000 are killed every 4 years. Babies in the womb are killed deliberately. New Zealand has become the strongest of any country in the world against the baby in the womb. They legislated just a year ago. Who's their prime minister? She is the youngest prime minister in the world. Trained by Klaus Schwab, she is the biggest promoter of the fourth industrial revolution in the world. She is at the forefront of the World Economic Forum. Do you know she led the way in pushing this through last year? And since then, abortion has increased 43% in just 1 year. Do you know how far she took it? It is a full-term abortion. Just a few months ago, I read the story of a mother, 21 years old, having a baby that had reached 21 weeks. She was having an abortion, but it failed. So they took, and I'm sorry to tell you these facts, I don't apologize in this hour, because even our young generation are being given such filth in this hour. We need to be woken up in this hour. Do you know what they done with that baby? It was a failed abortion. The law the Prime Minister changed last year said, even if an abortion fails, leave it to die. So they took the baby out. It was still alive, 21 weeks. And they left it on the table for 2 hours. As the nurses watched, they didn't touch it. The law now says you're not to apply any medical aid. You just leave it. You just leave it to die on the table. There was one incident the past year in New Zealand, up to 35 weeks plus, and yet it was aborted. Do you realize we are now in a generation of leaders, of government leaders, who have no care? They say you can kill that baby right up to birth. You know, the laws are nothing at the minute. They are wanting to push through hard, significant laws. I'm talking about the generation we're living in. I'm not just talking about Exodus chapter 1 and Exodus chapter 2. I'm talking about the hour that we're living in. Now they say 30 million worldwide have been aborted this year. 30 million babies. They say 4.5 million have supposedly died from COVID deaths over the past year and a half. Compare this. 4.5 million max, if they're accurate, worldwide. And we shut down the entire world. Everything. The economy. We destroy the economy because of that. Something that hardly touches most in the population. And it is a real thing. COVID is a real thing. But it hardly touches our population. 4.5 million. Compare that to 30 million just this year of abortions right across our world. 1.5 billion have died in the past 50 years through murder in the womb. About 25% of all pregnancies end in deliberate abortion. 42% of all deaths each year are from abortions. All deaths, take cancer, take COVID, take car deaths, take it all. 42% of deaths are down to abortion. Do you know what was happening when Moses was born? At that hour, at that very time, it was a contemporary issue. Do you know what those midwives are told? You need to abort all the young boys coming out. This would have affected Moses, one of the greatest men of faith our world has ever known. And these two midwives are told, you are responsible for doing this. Do it medically. Do it scientifically. It's a political thing. But you know what? This tyrant has an agenda. He doesn't say, I hate you. He says, we need a limit. We need to restrict. We need to do something about this. I looked at the stats of abortion in our world, and I wanted to see when the high point was. When were the most abortions committed per head worldwide? When, as far as recording? Do you know when it was? It was in the early 1990s. If you were born in the early 1990s or mid-1990s, you were the target of a satanic attack to annihilate a generation. In other words, if you're just under 30, your generation was the most grasped for of any generation so far in world history. But I actually believe it's moved further. These two ladies, Shipra, do you know what her name means? It means to glitter or to garnish. It means to glisten or to make fair. You see, these two ladies were unique. What's my second point? Midwives who feared God. They actually feared God. What do you do when a tyrant tells you, you better do this or else? You better do this. This is a command from a tyrant. You've got to instill this. Well, this first lady, she glittered in the midst of it. It means that you become garnished or begin to shine. It's a process. It's like brass or some precious metal where you're so worked upon that you begin to shine forth. It takes time. It takes work. Do you know this lady in this environment began to shine? I wonder how many of you are going to begin to shine in this hour. You're going to shine up beautiful. You're going to become radiant because of the hour that you live in. You see, this lady, because of this command and this situation, she began to shine. She began to gleam and to shine forth. Her friend Pua, it's a similar name, means to radiate or to shine forth beauty. What it's talking about is not progressively beginning to shine or being tried and burst into something. It means that your inward character begins to manifest. Do you know, before this year and a half, a lot of people in our world were unnoticed, but they're beginning to shine. You notice in our world certain people you never heard about. I mean, many of them. The past year and a half, you never once heard about them. They're unnoticed. They're obscure. Suddenly in this year, their inward beauty of character, of conviction, of belief is beginning to shine out. And not only that, there's others that in this, they're beginning to say, we need to speak out. We need to make a stand. I care about convictions. And so these two ladies, you know what? They begin to shine in the midst of this. Babies were to be killed at birth. And you know what? Government wanted to offload onto business leaders, the local workplace. These women in the workplace, offload the responsibility on them. I'm washing my hands of it. Let them do the dirty work. It was an official task of the medical profession. It's your job to implement this in this generation. You're to do it. You're to do it. And the government stands by and say, we haven't done it. It's them. It's happening, saints, in the past year. All over our world it is happening. What did these midwives do? How do you survive this? But the midwives, verse 17, feared God. Do you realize if you fear God, you don't fear man? The fear of man brings a snare. When you're scared of men more than you're scared of God, you will do things you never imagine. There's people in our world said, I would never do that. But when the regulations and the laws and the legislation and the powers and government strengthens, suddenly they'll compromise everything. You know why? They're scared. Or they don't want to be denied what they're doing. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them. They said, I can't do this. There's a bridge too far. I can do many things. There's much I can do, but I cannot do this thing. And they saved the men, children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing and have saved the men, children alive? You know what they begin to say to him? You say, listen to me, you need to be very wise in this hour. They begin to say, well, you don't know these Jewish ladies. They are very, very lively. And you know what? Before we get there to deliver them, they are birthing their children. I mean, they're vigorous. They're a bit like Neve. You can't even get them into the room and they're bringing forth a baby. You need to understand what they're really like. I want to assure you. And it says, listen, so you have these ladies making a stand here. I'm not talking about lying. I am actually talking about protecting and preserving. It says there in these verses that therefore God dealt well with the midwives and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. These two ladies that were over this, God dealt well with them. Man was commanding them to take the life of children, and yet God dealt with them. Do you know what? When you respect life, when you understand the sanctity of life and what is going on in this generation, you're going to want to please God more than you want to please man. The fear of God is an utterly remarkable thing in your life. It's a remarkable thing. It'll protect you. You will have real convictions. You will stand when others are not willing to stand. You will actually stand your ground. You know, these two ladies, they feared God, therefore they obeyed God and preserved the life. Do you have convictions this morning? But things went further. This tyrant began to realize, we need to stop this. Something is happening. Third of all, in Exodus chapter 1:22, it says, and Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born, ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. It's going further. This is my third point. Parents with faith. This is when legislation invades the home, attacks the sanctity of life. Parents with faith. You see, this tyrant, this new king, he moved it now further to the very home, and he said, it's your responsibility. It's not the midwives anymore. It's not us Egyptians oppressing you and trying to wear you down. It's all a process. First trying to wear you down, then come through the medical profession. Now, third of all, we're after your children. We're going to turn you parents against your own children. The parents with faith, third of all. In 1 Chronicles chapter 6, we read about the name of Moses' father. He's called Amram. In Exodus chapter 6, verse 20, we read about the mother's name called Jochebed. Amram and Jochebed were the parents of Moses. They had three children. The firstborn was Miriam. She became a prophetess. The second was Aaron. He became a high priest. And then third of all was baby Moses. He became a great prophet and a man of God. Do you know Aaron, his older brother, was 3 years old when he was born. 3 years old. He wasn't under threat. This is how fast things were moving. That when Aaron was born, there was no command to take his life. None whatsoever. Remember, Pharaoh said, now I'm enforcing legislation. We're going further. I want you to throw your child in the River Nile to annihilate your child. The pressure is coming to bear. But it wasn't like that 2 years ago or 3 years ago, but it is now, during the birth of Moses. So I'm convinced that children born in such an hour, there's a pattern in Scripture. Do you remember all incidents when kings rose up to kill babies? It always meant there was a seed, children in that generation who are going to be uniquely used of God to prophetically fulfill the will of God. It happened in Moses' day. It also happened in the New Testament with Christ. Herod knew there was a child going to be born. He knew a deliverer was coming. The devil knew. I don't know where. I don't know just when. But in this time frame, somewhere in Nazareth, there's a child. And I'm going to find him. You know what the devil does? Annihilates an entire generation of children in a city or in a nation to get that one child. I believe you that are under 30, do you know why the devil's made such a grab for you? Because God's about to do something unique in this last generation. Do you know these little children being born now? I believe they're going to live in the most phenomenal hour in all of world history. They are utterly unique. And you know what? The devil wants to annihilate an entire population of babies because somewhere in there is that last church generation. I mean the very last church generation. And he is out to get it. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. By faith, he was born. He was hid. Moses can't have faith to hide himself. He's a child. 3 months old, you don't have faith. Whose was the faith? It was the faith of his parents. They hid him. Why did they hide him? Because of their faith. In other words, it says in Hebrews 11, oh, it wasn't a great miracle. To hide your child in such an hour is a great act of faith. Ian and Eve, I want to tell you, a great act of faith is to hide Eva in this hour. To hide her, conceal her, protect her, to watch over her, to care for her. It is an act of faith. You are going to need great faith in this hour. You mothers, you fathers, do you have faith to hide your child in this hour from all that is happening and around? This is the first of several explaining the faith of Moses. See, Hebrews 11 is there to explain about Moses' faith. How he done great deeds. He, by faith, rejected the riches of Pharaoh. He rejected the wealth of position. He went through the Passover. But first of all, it's the faith of the parents. Do you want your children to have faith? You better have faith. You see, here it is showing the faith of the parents of a child that's going to rise with remarkable faith. Everything in his life is going to be faith. Everything he does is by faith. But the faith better start with you parents. You better activate faith. That will impact the children of this generation. You see, there's the faith of parents. Moses was born at the height of persecution. This persecution was now invading the home. It was no longer a safe environment in your personal home. Hasn't it all changed in the past year and a half? They begin to execute laws of tyranny that are going to affect the children. Remember, the fear of man brings a snare. But these parents are not afraid of consequence. I'm going to hide these children by faith. What sort of faith was it? It was a daily faith. Imagine, for 3 months you have to hide your child. Every day. It's not a Sunday morning faith. It's not when you feel good faith. That faith to protect your child is a daily faith. It is a living faith. It is a spiritual faith. It is a supernatural faith. It is an acting faith. Parents, have faith to God concerning your children. You've really got to have faith. Action is the result of faith. All your actions come out of faith. Every decision, everything you do with those kids come out of faith. But it is your faith that actually preserves them. It is supernatural. It was that faith that sustained these parents, guided them, protected their child. And faith explains the action. Show me your actions in this hour. What you do and decide over the next year, I'll show you faith. I'm in with all of you and with me. Faith can be seen. Faith is heard. Faith acts. Faith does certain things. Faith is not a hidden thing of the heart. Faith is not private and secret and moral and spiritual inwardly without outward effect. Faith can be seen in the home. Faith can be seen by your decisions over your children. Remember in Acts chapter 4:18, and the authorities in Jerusalem called for Peter and John and commanded them not to speak at all, nor to teach in the name of Jesus. Well, you know what they'd done. In Acts chapter 5:29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Amen. I believe in obeying the law of the land. I believe in obeying laws that I don't like. I believe in obeying the laws that I would rather be changed. I believe in doing that. But there's certain things when it comes to bear, we've got to reject them. But God uses means. How does this faith manifest? God uses means. You could say, well, I'm going to pray that God supernaturally protects my child. I'm going to pray that an angel is put there by my child and that nothing is going to happen. I'm going to just pray that God will miraculously preserve them and I'll just sit back and watch and trust God. Do you know what that is? That's dangerous. To play games over this. You see, God uses means. He preserves life through certain ways. Do not tempt God. Remember when the devil said to Jesus, throw yourself off this temple and then angels will come and save you and then everyone's going to believe. After all, it's a promise in the Bible. If, then the angels will keep you. What a miracle. Jesus walked back down the steps again. He didn't throw himself off. Do you know a lot of people raising children? Oh, well, let's just trust God. Bring them in on a Sunday morning. That would be fanaticism, presumption, reckless. It is not lack of faith to avoid danger. Real faith is careful, cautious, wary. It's not about miracles here. I'm talking about using means. If you have faith in God, I'm going to protect that child for 3 months. When they had that child, can you imagine having noticed, is it a boy or a girl? And you know the law, the legislation, the regulation. If you have a boy, you've got to cast him in the river. He's got to die. And you're waiting. What is it? Boy? Girl? It's not because you painted the room pink or blue. And they even get that confused in this hour. They're so messed up. It's not because that. It's because you know, if that's a boy, we're entering into a trial here, the like of which we've never had to face before, because of the change of legislation. As soon as she heard it was a boy, they know what they're going to do. They had faith. We are going to hide him 3 months in our house. That's very dangerous. I know. I know the law. Do you know you're breaking the law? Yes. But what do you want me to do? Cast them in the sea? In the Nile? Do you want me to do things that break the word of God? That deny God and the sanctity of life? You see, when things start pressing around us, I don't have a choice anymore as a preacher in this church. I don't have a choice what I preach. I don't have a choice about convictions. I am bound. I wish I didn't live in this hour. Well, I don't really. I was born for this. I knew it from a child. I'm telling you, I knew it from a child. I was born for this hour. But their faith actually made them hide him. They had to be consistent. Well, I'll guard him this week. And then, hey, nothing's going to happen. I know God will guard him next week. You better guard that child. You better hide him. The parents, their faith, their wisdom. But they do not lie. Is that a baby I hear? You need to be very careful. The two midwives didn't lie. They're just very wise. You in this church are going to have to become very wise. No Christian lies. Oh, but I was helping you. No Christian lies. Christians don't lie. Amen. You need to settle that. Oh, but I thought. I know what you thought. Christians do not lie. But you know what? You need great wisdom on how you answer things. I've told you before, those sellers of merchandise would phone us up, and Candace is on the phone. 20 minutes. Who was that? She doesn't do that anymore. But for 20 minutes, she's explaining why she shouldn't buy that. I said, press a button. You don't need to explain anything. You don't need to tell them why you're not buying it. You just don't say anything. Some people, when they start to explain and talk, they get themselves into an awful lot of trouble. They're trying to explain why they're not doing something. Just zip it. Takes faith to hold your tongue. It really does. Takes a lot of faith. The river that should have marked his name was going to become his deliverance. Do you know, at the end of 3 months, they had no more faith. Maybe they checked the houses every 3 months. And now it's getting close. And their faith reached to that point. They go, for 3 months we've protected that child, but I don't have any more faith. That's okay. You may say, I don't have faith for this. Who does? Who does? I'm not brave. I only have faith to stand here this morning. Some of you are so worried about next year. And what if this happens? I don't know. I just know what I'm doing this morning. I've got faith for this morning. I don't have faith for next year. Why would I have faith that I don't need yet? Do you know what? At that point, do you know what they done? They took that baby. They made an ark of bulrushes. And she put oil on it. She actually waterproofed that box. You know what? She's making a plan. I have faith in God. And she said, I'm going to put the baby in the ark. And you know what? We're going to obey the law, but we're not going to obey the law. What is the command? You've got to cast your man child, your little boy, into the river. Okay, then. I've got faith that God will preserve my child. I can obey the government and I can obey God. Only faith can do that. Only the wisdom of God can do that. And so she put the baby in the ark. And Neve, I can't tell you how much I believe this is for you. I can't tell you how much. Somehow faith does this. And I actually believe somewhere Eve is going to need this. That faith that says, I can obey government and I can also fear God and obey him at the same time. I can actually do it. She actually puts the baby in this little ark, entrusted to Miriam, who's probably anything from 6 years old to 15, the older sister, and little baby Aaron's over in the corner, and she entrusts it to Miriam. What a task for a young girl. And she goes to the riverside and pushes it off. This was an act of great faith. They hid him for 3 months. Because they saw he was a perfect child. There's something about this child in this generation. There really is. And so little Miriam pushed off the ark. This is where the men had died. Oh, I obeyed the law. I have put my baby in the river. But it's in a waterproof basket. And I didn't throw as much as just push off with God bless you, little child. I know you're in God's hands. I've got faith in my heart. And as Miriam watched, here comes Pharaoh's daughter down by the bulrushes. And when she sees the child, she knows it's a Hebrew. This is one of those Hebrew kids. And this must be a scheme of one of these Hebrew mothers. And the baby begins to weep. And that motherly heart, do you know, ladies, that when a woman and a man see a baby, they now say chemicals are released in your body. That's why a guy like me that isn't fraternal, and believe me, a nappy is the worst. I can't even imagine anything else worse than that. I've avoided it for 50 years. God help me. But I'm telling you, when you get a baby in that arms, there's chemicals released. God's made it that way. Do you know, Pharaoh's daughter, as soon as that baby begins to cry, her heart melts and goes, I've got some stories I can tell about this child. And then little Miriam, 15 years old max, steps up and says, Queen, I've got an idea. I could find... The Queen hasn't said anything yet. The suggestion's coming from a little girl. You little ladies in this church, you need the wisdom of Miriam. She's going to become a prophetess. She steps up and she says, you know what? I've got an idea. I can find a Hebrew lady, a Hebrew mother to look after it, and says, go do that. Imagine advising the Queen of Egypt, this daughter of the Pharaoh. Well, she went and found Moses' mother, and they raised him until a certain point. Fourth and lastly, let me finish here. Children born for an hour. Eva has been born in an hour. All of your children, a unique hour. Miriam, Aaron, and then Moses. A dark hour, a dangerous hour. Look what it says in Hebrews 11:23. Because they saw he was a proper child. Why did they by faith hide the child? Because they saw he was a proper child. They saw, they observed. They could see. Do you have the ability to look and observe God's plan and purpose? Could you look at a baby Moses like thousands of other babies and yet you go, there's something different about this child. I know God's prophetic plan for this hour. I know God's purpose for this hour. I know this isn't a normal hour. Something is going to happen in this generation. God's going to use this child. I know it. They actually saw that he was a proper child. They saw. They could discern. They looked. They used their eyes. A lot of parents don't open their eyes. Where's Jimmy? I don't know. Who's that talking with Jimmy? I don't know. I don't care. What did Jimmy eat tonight? I don't know. Do you know what? They saw he was a proper child. They observed it. The word tob used here, listen carefully. The word that's used for this special child, this very proper child, this unique child, here in Exodus, you know what it says? It's the word tob to describe this child. There was something about him. The word tob is used in Genesis 1 about creation, and it means something is good or perfect, not lacking anything. It is complete or it is the work of God. There's definitely, evidently a work of God in this child. Like creation, like the 6 days, it was good, it was good, it was good. Now I see a child, it is good. God's plan is here. God's hand is here. God's creation is here. God's will is here. God's purpose is here. I see in this child that something is going to happen. These parents saw something about this child. It was beautiful to God. It was evident at his birth. You know, certain children, parents have known something's different. Samson's parents knew there's something about that child. This isn't a normal birth. Samuel's parents knew there's something unique about this child. Well, I cried. I just want a child. Then you find out he's a prophet. Unbelievable. John the Baptist, you'll never have a child, you old parents. But an angel comes and says, you're going to have a child. I heard your prayers. Why are you praying as an old man? You're in the temple praying. Do you not realize, old man, you can't have children? He's in the house of God praying. That angel says, excuse me. And then because you don't believe me, you're going to be dumb until that child's born. You don't believe me? I do, but I don't. Well, it's better you stay dumb and don't speak a word until that child comes forth. In Acts 7, verse 20, it says, in which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. It means he was beautiful in God's sight, beautiful before God. A child who met God's requirements. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. In other words, to raise your children, the Bible commands you to train your child. If you don't, God will not protect your child. Hear me, parents. I'm telling you what the Bible says. Oh, well, it doesn't matter what I do with my children. I don't need to discipline them. I don't need to train them. But God will look after them. You're in dangerous ground. You're playing fire with God. You're playing fire with the devil. You see, the Bible says you're to train up your child. You know what that word means? It means to narrow them down. You can't claim the promise of this verse. that they will not depart from God, and yet you don't train them. You don't train them, but you want God to look after them. You're negligent. You're playing a dangerous game. You'll have a little rebel atheist grow up in your home. You'll have an immoral little girl grow up in your home, and you are responsible. Oh, it's not. It's their choice. It's your responsibility. Your faith will impact their faith. Your training will impact the fact that they do not depart from God. You know what the Bible says? This child was a proper child, an exceeding fair child. It's not talking about outward beauty, but it's talking about something else. In Hebrews 11, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years or he grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Why? Faith. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Why? Faith. Do you know many are going to make a choice in this hour to suffer? It's a choice. You can make a choice where you won't suffer in this hour. You'll just sidestep it and go, I still have faith in God. No, you don't. You made a choice that showed you didn't have faith. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured a seeing him that is invisible. Saints of God, I'm telling you about raising children under rising tyranny. And as I sat over this, I've had this for a few months now, this text, of parents who are willing to push out that little ark, the ark representing Christ. Our faith is in Christ. We entrust this little child into God's hands. We have faith. The faith of a parent. Insignificant parents, but what a faith. It's faith for an hour, faith for a crisis, faith for a trial, and it's faith for this hour. Raising children under a rising tyranny. And I believe we're going to have maybe a message or two more in this. Because I believe that it's time that we raise up children, not only here, but out on that camera. There's parents. Maybe some of you, it's too late. But if you've got a child, raise up. Maybe it's your grandchildren. Raise them up. This is a remarkable hour. And if you see that your child's a proper child, you're going to watch them by faith. You're going to guard them. You pray with me here this morning. Father, we do thank you, Lord God, for your grace and your mercy, even upon this family this morning. We've come and dedicated this baby unto you. We've stood beside her. We've offered her up to you. We have faith in our heart that this little child is born in a unique hour. We believe there's faith here in this room to guard her, to protect her, to hide her, to conceal her. In an hour when the devil is after this generation to educate them, to brainwash them, to deceive them, to separate them from parents, to annihilate this generation, we believe that God has a plan, a purpose to bring forth his will in this hour. Father, I do pray, Lord God, for this generation of children. Give us a generation. Give us new converts out of this hour. Give us a whole harvest of new souls. Give us newborn Christians this year that are going to be unique, proper children. Lord God, set aside to you that are going to be used for your glory and your praise in Jesus' name.